This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan, I got a question for you.
Yo, what it do? Boom.
Are you looking for one of the most exhilarating and effective forms of home fitness?
Bro, I think I found it.
Yeah, well, allow me to introduce you to Fight Camp, an interactive at-home boxing. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers with decades of experience teaching proper boxing form and technique. Fight Camp also has live punch counting stats that motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knock out achievements or go head-to-head against other members from across the country or across the living room. One of the best things about Fight Camp is that it makes boxing accessible to everyone. No matter what your fitness level is, what your age is, or what your experience with boxing is, you can do it. And you're going to have a great time. How do you think you'd rank on the Fight Camp leaderboard? Do you think you'd be in first place? You used to box, right, Conan?
I don't know if I'd be in first place. I'm not in that type of shape, but it's gotten me into great shape. It's getting me into great shape.
Yeah, so join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home. Fight Camp packages start at just $99. They even offer some great financing options and get started for as low as $9 a month. You get everything you need. Go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONAN.
Have you or Joe received yours yet?
I haven't got mine yet.
Have you, Joe?
Yes, I have, actually, yeah. I have it set up right down here in the basement.
Tell people your experience and I'll tell them mine.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it doesn't take up much space. It's on a stand, so it's not, you don't have to hang anything from your ceiling. And you can go on and use all the different lessons and stuff. Like for me, I never had any boxing training, you know, so I was like, let me do this the right way. So I go on there, I've taken the beginner classes and moved on. It keeps your scores, it keeps your progress, it tracks everything, and you know, the trainers know what they're doing, and it's a lot of fun watching the different clips and competing. You compete against anyone you want. You compete against friends if they're on, people around the world, whatever. There's international leaderboards, and it's a great way to exercise. It's a lot of fun.
Right. The great thing about this thing is you can do it in your house. So you don't have to go to a gym, pay gym memberships, you know, change in the gym clothes, park. You know, sometimes you want to get a late workout in and you can't because the gym is closed. You know, or wait for people to put their weights back or whatever. This thing right here conditions you, it tones your arms, your legs, your stomach, everything, and it gives you cardio at the same time. And you can put it in your house and you can work out whenever you want. And the great thing is it has different programs. So if you want to work out for 15 minutes, you only got 15 minutes of workout, you get a 15-minute workout. And if you got an hour, you can get an hour workout in. It's great. I love it, and I'm glad that I purchased it, and it's helping me get into shape. Check out FightCap.com. Boom.
Next is from Beto Garcia, and the subject is Brittany Griner and Joe. How's it, Jens? It's your homeboy from the 415, and on Discord is G4150351. A head-scratching prisoner exchange took place, and of course, the holier-than-thou half-assed celebrities took to social media and praised Griner for her strength, blackness, feminism, and social stance. Griner broke a law and got rightfully locked up for being a dumb F. What are your thoughts? Who is germ-spreading sick, was at a party grab-assing and singing off-key. Is it safe to say that your employee is a super spreader? Stay righteous, mentally, and physically healthy. Joe, were you at a party grab-assing when you were sick?
Yeah, Saturday night. It was a long one. Long party started.
Why
three.
A party when you were sick?
Oh, my friend's brother turned 30. I'm not going to miss that.
A grown man.
I wish you would have gotten pneumonia and COVID, bro. I really do. Yeah,
and I was doing some karaoke. It was a great time.
Griner thing.
Yeah,
it was. We traded for, in a time of war. We traded them an arms dealer for a basketball. If we weren't funding Ukraine, we would have gotten her back a lot quicker.
That's true.
And probably not had to exchange anything. But the fact that they were using her as like a political prisoner, just and what we had eventually trade to get her back, just kind of looked a little silly, to be honest with you. But I couldn't care less. She's back home, so who cares?
They are laying it on a little thick in the news world and the public eye and all. She's a hero and covers a magazine and stuff like that.
No, she's not a hero. She's had a domestic violence in her past that nobody really likes to bring up anymore. Because she can dunk.
I don't see it. She got
popped. I mean, like, WNBA basketball players, we could pretend that they're like, you know, I mean, because she's an LGBTQ, it's heightened her profile some more. I don't care. I mean, I don't watch the WNBA. Nobody does. Next is from CC, and the subject is reparations. Hello, all. What about females? They're always overlooked. There's still slavery going on with them today. It's called sex trafficking, which should be called sex slavery. But our corrupt politicians are so involved with it, we can't get any progress on the matter. One last thing, remember, affirmative action. So do we all get money if we were discriminated against because we were white? My point is, I agree with Disco. It's a Pandora's box you would open. I mean, I don't know about these examples, but like it does. When you start giving reparations, it opens a Pandora's box of what deserves reparations. And you can take anybody would deserve reparations if an injustice has been done to them through their human history. So it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm not paying anybody any reparations.
I'm the
grandson of Italian immigrants.
It's not going to be up to
so them. I was not involved in any of the, you know, like any of the slavery, you know, the colonization and stuff, everything, all that. So
what year did your grandparents arrive? Do you know? Was it like 20s, 30s?
Let me see. My dad was born I don't know exactly when.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But they're Roman, from Rome, Italy, my grandparents. Cody, you got any comment on that?
Yeah, I just think it's, you know, you open up a slippery slope because next Mexicans are going to be asking for reparations and Asians and everybody going to get on the bandwagon. So.
Well, what about if you're Muslim and you can say, hey, I haven't been able to get a decent job since 9/11. This country discriminates against me, too. You know, stuff like that. So
it opens up a reasonable argument for anybody that has been unjustly done over the years. Like, you know, saying, right. Okay, well, so how much do we get for this? And then they have a mathematical formula like, okay, slavery is $230,000 and somebody in your family was killed by somebody from another family, and so that's going to be $100,000. You know, I don't know. So whatever. Next is from Matthew Ince, and the subject is Gable. I got a marquee question for you guys because in my defense, I don't know a thing about the wrestling business, so take it easy on me. Chad Gable is used on Raw or SmackDown every single week, and he's a great wrestler. Whether it's a match or a comedy segment, he does the best he can. Question is Chad Gable being used well or just being featured a lot? Plus, isn't it crazy that Alpha Academy went to WrestleMania's WWE Tag Team Champions and then were pretty much never used again in a big match again? Oh, yeah. Billy Body's audio really needs to be fixed. I was listening to your podcast in the car, and Billy's 1993 modem connection is so bad that I had to turn the show off. Please force him to get a microphone because he ruins the show every time you have him on. He's a dickhead, too.
Jesus.
Chad Gable, I would agree with that. He is just being featured a lot. He's not really being used well. He's just being featured. He's like, you know, he's been, they use him as jobbers, basically. You know, they don't really push them or anything.
Yeah, he's being featured a lot. He's being used all right because he's getting the catchphrase over. He's gotten himself over. He's gotten the Alpha Academy over. But the guy's incredible. Great worker. Good on the mic. Funny. Can do serious shit. I can't wait till they start pushing him because he can have a great match with anybody. He had a real good match this week. I think it was against AJ Styles.
Next is from Charles Redman. The subject is PEDs and wrestling. G'day, Conan, Disco, and Joe. Hope you're both doing well. It's been well documented that wrestlers of past generations use and abuse performance-enhancing drugs, leading to many having health issues later in life. With the new trend of men's clinics opened up throughout the U.S. and Canada, as well as online facilities, do you think performance-enhancing drugs should still remain outlawed in the WWE? These clinics are genuine medical facilities run by licensed doctors, proving testosterone and other hormone replacement therapies to help men keep their hormones at peak levels due to a number of factors. If a performer is prescribed certain hormones or steroids under the care and supervision of a doctor, I don't see the issue with it. Jim Ross made a similar statement on a show in the past, and he believes that if it's all above board and the performer is supervised by a doctor, they should be allowed to and be free of any penalties by the WWE. What are your thoughts? We spoke about this earlier. I agree. We call them PEDs, but this is scripted competition. Like these, it's not like the UFC where you're actually fighting the guy. We're performance artists. You know, you're scripted. It's scripted fighting. It's not actual fighting. So the PED argument doesn't make a lick of sense, because where's the advantage you're getting? You know, like you could have a guy like you could have a 180 pound guy beat a 350 pound jack guy in professional wrestling because it's scripted that way. It's not like they're actually performing and the 350 pound guy is all jacked up on steroids and beating up the 180 pound guy. And it's like the other guy is like in danger of actually getting hurt.
Plus, I don't think they check for growth. And I know guys that are on growth. And I also know guys that have scripts and are using the TRT and other stuff. So
yeah, a lot of guys look decent. So you draw your own conclusions, right?
How did you guys each individually get introduced to steroids?
Just people had
just
them.
The gym, you know. Whatever.
Yeah, just the gym and stuff.
Same thing in Mexico, Conan?
Yeah, I'm not going to answer that.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIP. PC.
Conan.
What up?
I get it. You want to raise your testosterone, but do any of these boosters actually work?
To tell you the truth, Disco, I don't know. I only use legacy subs, and let me tell you this. This is empirical shit. I went to get my testosterone levels done before I was using legacy subs, and it was very low, and then afterwards it did increase, so it does work.
Yeah, TestX9 works. And don't just take legacy subs' word for it. They show you how, with links to independent studies on every single one of the 9 key ingredients. No bull, no bro science, just facts. TestX9 is an NSF-certified third-party lab tested made in the USA. Level up your strength, energy, libido, and drive now with TestX9 from Legacy Sports Nutrition. If you want to really level up, go for the ultimate test act, adding T-Assist, a pro-grade estrogen inhibitor and test enhancer, and the best-selling sleep aid, Recovery PM, the show's favorite, and see why improving your sleep is the key to unlocking your mental and physical potential. Guys, did you know that the majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep? That's why we put this stuff together and why it really works. Stop setting for average, go to legacysubs.com and use the code K100 for 10% off your entire order. And if you subscribe to have it shipped every 30 days, you can still get the discount every single time. It's brought to you by 3-time world champion Nick Aldis and 10-time world champion Mickey James, who developed and used these products themselves. LegacySupps.com. Level up with Legacy, and the code is K100.
And let me tell you, we've been doing business with Nick for a while now. This is one of our most requested items. People always buy all his supplements because they work, or if not, he would have left our show a long time ago. We use them, and they work, and it's not just this testosterone. They've got stuff for your memory, for your energy, for sleeping. Go check them out at Legacy Subs. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwood1.
Next is from Andrew Winowski, and the subject is Vampiro the Truth Teller. Disco and Conan. Disco and Vinny Russo did a YouTube video where they reviewed Vampiro's You Shoot from Kayfabe commentaries. During the shoot, Vampiro stated he was drafted as a goalie in 1984. Disco Googled to see if Vampiro was in fact drafted in 1984. Disco said that Ian Hutchinson was not drafted in 1984. However, I researched it myself and found out where he was indeed drafted in the 10th round, picked number 138 overall as a goalie. Below, I've copied and pasted the link for proof. With that being said, put some respect on my boy. Maybe show just maybe half of Vampiro's stories are in fact true. Oh, he got drafted in the Ontario Hockey League.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
OHL, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought the question was, I thought he was drafted to the NHL. Mm-hmm. Was the claim that was being made. But so, yeah, I'm not. this guy found the one time that Vampiro told the truth.
What are your guys' favorite Vampiro exaggerations for the people that haven't heard them before, for the new listeners?
That the plane falling off of the door that delayed its flight from Mexico. Remember that one, Conan?
Yeah.
The door falling off the plane. Right. That's an actual excuse he used, that his flight was delayed. That's why he was late to work. The next one's from Steve Coase, and the subject is Nitro January 10th, 2000 in the Twitter files. Hello, K100. Hope all is well. It's been a while since I wrote in, and as a proud tremendous tier patron support, I want to say thank you.
Let me just say, D.I., the way he types this is a little rambling, so it's like question, sentence. So if you stop and answer each question, it might be a little easier to understand. You know what I mean?
Thanks for the great content. Happy holidays to all of you and your families. And Conan, on Nitro January 19, 2000, Buffalo, I was at the show and you wrestled in a three-way tag match where Saturn went to the second-level balcony and splashed Ray through a table. My question is, did either of those guys get hurt from that spot? The answer to that is no. Remembering back, I can't believe David Flair and Crowbar were tag team champs. Oh, my God. Disco, with Elon releasing the Twitter files, do you believe this is a step in the right direction? Yes. Finally, all the lies are coming out. Does Elon have the juice to take down all that's wrong with this country? And should he run for president with you as his running mate, of course? No. Joe, don't worry. I won't leave you out. Mr. ECW Guru, have you consumed beer with Sandman at the show?
No, but I did share a cheesesteak with Sandman and Raven at the last convention.
To close, no beer, glad
what
to
do you
hear
mean you shared a cheesesteak? What, you ate from one end and he ate from the other, and Raven took a bite in the middle? What's going on?
We cut it into threes like gentlemen and then sat and had a nice conversation.
That sounds very...
To close, glad to hear dialysis went great and you're feeling much better, Cody. And happy holidays. That's from Steve Coase. Are you going to say thank you? No. The guy wish you good health. Yeah. And you're not going to make a comment?
And his Twitter profile is actually a picture of him with you. He must have come across
cool
the show.
For him. Yeah. I'll send him a cookie or something.
Okay, next is in the supermarket, Brian Dunlop. And his subject is Tony Khan's booking of Ricky Starks. Hello, K100 crew. What's the deal with Tony Khan's booking? In July, Hook defeats Ricky Starks in less than 2 minutes. By the way, what is Hook doing now in AEW? Though it's worth mentioning that Starks beat Danhausen in less than 2 minutes before facing Hook. After Starks dropped the FTW title to Hook in a squash match, Ricky had a couple of wins on TV, but lost to Powerhouse Hobbs at All Out. Then he beat Hobbs in an unsanctioned Lights Out match on Rampage. Then Starks had a couple of unmemorable wins against wrestlers I've never heard of, and then he was placed in a world title eliminator tournament and ended up winning it. Now Starks is on his way to challenge MJF for the AEW World Championship at the special edition Dynamite called Winner is Coming. Again, what's the deal with TK's booking? Does he think that simply winning a tournament makes a wrestler a believable world champion? Not knocking Ricky Starks a performer, he can go in the ring and has charisma, but the booking side of things have been very questionable to say the least. So this guy's complaining about Tony Khan's booking of Ricky Starks and asks us the question, what's the deal with his booking? Well, it's been underwhelming. I mean, don't you listen to the show every week? We talk about it every single week. Next is from Kelly Henderson, and the subject is questions. Good evening, gentlemen. Hope everyone is doing well today. Conan, was Hana Kimura ever on your radar to bring her into AAA? I remember Mary Apache brought her into Mexico in 2018, I think. Same question with Lady Frost. I see she's in CMLL, and her high-flying style seems like she'll fit right into the Lucha style. Disco, did the Octomom ever appear at your strip club as a special attraction dancer? The answer to that is no. Conan, do you have any answers to those other questions?
The first question, who?
Hana Kimura.
Hana Kimura.
The fuck is that?
All right. What about Mary Apache?
I think Hana Kimura is the one that passed away due to social media bullying.
All right.
Passed away?
She committed suicide.
Yeah. Due to
The young girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wrestled for Stardom.
Yeah. I don't think, she wasn't on my radar.
How about Lady?
So what about Mary Apache?
Well, Mary Apache worked for AAA.
What about Lady Frost?
Lady Frost, she actually did a seminar I did in Chicago for what's that promotion your boy likes to go to, Durban, Shimmer, or whatever?
Yeah, Shimmer. And then you were at the side promotion that promoted LGBTQ wrestlers, I think. But I can't – Progress, Stardom, Shimmer. Something.
Yeah, I think it was that Progress one. She was there for a what did I just say I did with her?
Seminar.
A seminar. And I wanted to bring her into AAA, but then she signed with Impact. And then all of a sudden I saw she quit Impact and she went to CMLL. And, so she's wrestling with them right now. Yeah.
Next is from Joseph Mattarelliano. Subject is mailbag. Hey, fellas. Hope everyone is well. My question is for Conan. Did you get a chance to see the Josh Alexander-Mike Bailey match that aired on Impact? If so, what did you think? Not a huge fan of long matches, but these guys put on a hell of a match. The shame Impact can't get a TV deal with a cable network that's on basic cable plans. Some of the stuff they do rivals the nonsensical booking and lack of storytelling that AEW throws out there on a weekly basis. That's from Joe Mattarelliano. Did you watch that match?
I did watch that match. That was a very good match.
All right. Next is from Miguel Lada. And the subject is the studio. What up, OGs? I was listening to Road Dogg's podcast. He mentioned being in the studio with Conan and Truth. Does Conan have any good memories in the studio? And does Conan actually have any full-length albums? If so, where can I find or purchase? Thanks, Vatos. P.S. Waiting for one of my favorite scenes from Goodfellas to unfold with the show in real life with Joe as Spider, Conan as Pesci, and Disco as De Niro. When Joe tells Conan to go F himself, Disco giving Joe at a boy, and Conan shooting Joe.
I think we
This was atrocious grammar, too, Miguel, Lara. This is,
What if I get the script? Would you like to reenact that scene for listeners?
No. Next one is from Forrest Hogg.
Wait, you blew him off there. What, does Conan have any good memories in the studio?
No. Well, we'll continue to blow it off.
Okay.
Hello, Conan, Disco, and K100. Oh, there's rumors on CM Punk coming back to AEW. Conan, Disco, and K100 crew. This is my first time sending email to you guys. I found the dirt cheap rumor on image board forums, so take this with a grain of salt. Tony has made the call that Punk's coming back, assuming Punk still wants to. Tony suspended contract buyout talks and made the move to tell Punk he wants him back and will move heaven and earth to make him happy, which most likely will lead to the full-on birth of the Punkverse and Dynamite move into split crew format, meaning that you have Punk-centric episodes of Dynamite Rampage with Punk loyalists that's like MGM, FTR, Wardlow, and Darby and Sting, and others, and Elite-centric episodes of Dynamite Rampage with the Elite front and center and their cronies alternating every other week. So my question is it a good idea to alternate these Punk-centric and Elite-centric storylines every week if Punk ever comes back?
No.
Or would it be better if they just do brand splits like Raw and SmackDown? I don't know where this is. First of all, this is off information that looks like misinformation. So unless you can get any confirmation of that story from anybody, we're gonna flag this for misinformation and suspend this guy from the mailbag for a week.
And besides, the last we heard, which was Conan having a source saying that Punk was, you know, heavily considering WWE, not
right.
staying with AEW. But if Tony did suspend contract buyout talks, then he's stuck, so he wouldn't be able to go back.
Next is from Chris Graham, and the subject is Chris Graham, K100's talks, Kanye West. Morning, guys. Just done listening to your latest K100 talks on Kanye, and there was an exchange between Disco and Joe about Kanye working the audience. It got me thinking. Is this a giant work by Kanye and his team? Could the payoff at the end be him going to therapy or redeeming himself? We've seen this happen in the public eye with a plethora of celebrities, and the skeptic in me feels like this is the same angle being spun for the 100th time. Thank you for having friendly debate discussion amongst each other, and it's nice knowing that there are people who can talk respectfully with each other, even when they don't agree on every subject. Kanye was so out of bounds here. For a guy that's like that's an intelligent guy and stuff and thing, I can't imagine that he did this like from a position of ignorance. Like he just had to have been doing this calculated, you know, the like when Piers Morgan said they exchanged texts and Kanye was trying to cause maximum offense. You know, he's got guys like Milo with him and the white nationalists. It's like, come on. It's like you got to look at that and think like this guy's got to, you know, it's got to be open. The door's got to be open. Like, hey, this guy could be working everybody here. So be aware. You know, that's all I'm saying. What about you, Conan?
Yeah, that's been my angle too. You know, he's just whatever is triggering the snowflakes, he goes one step further.
Right.
I like Hitler. Here's right. my new friend, Nick Cruz.
Nick Fuentes. You know, right.
Nick Fuentes. Right. I'm going DEFCON 3 on Jews. I mean, right. what else could you say to get people more? I think Hitler was cool. Or
I
whatever
love Hitler. Right. Remember he said that? I love
right.
Hitler.
Right.
It's like, come on.
So
like, who says that?
He's just right. He's just getting the topics that are the most fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And just going one step further. And, you know, no different than you saw at one time Madonna do or other people that are trying to stay relevant or, you know, are glory hounds or whatever. He's, you know, bro, to lose that contract with Adidas and Gap, that had to be at least $500 million.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what's the end game here, but it's already costing him a lot of money and friendships.
Next from Dale Fortunio, and the subject is money or envy. Hey, K100 fam, I hope you have a great holiday and I hope you're feeling awesome, Conan. It's clear to see how money Jade Cargill is, but she is green, to say the least. As a viewer, it's clear that she's made minimal strides with her in-ring capabilities, but she has a strap and she's marketable. She's hot and has a cadence to her voice that is attractive as hell for a performer. Problem is that she really has no direction, and this includes an actual unexplained feud with Bow Wow, a rapper who peaked at 13 years old. Where would you go with Jade from here? Bonus question for Conan. If you had a flamboyant zombie character in AAA, would you name them Abaddon Adonis? I'll suspend myself. Thanks. Merry Christmas. Yeah, Dale Fortunio, we're going to let you impose a one-week self-imposed suspension. So just don't mail anything next week for that terrible joke, the Abaddon Adonis. No, you're absolutely – that's a pretty good description of Cargill. As a viewer, it's – let me read this again. As a viewer, it's clear that she's made minimal strides with her in-ring capabilities, but she has a strap and she's marketable. And she's hot and has a cadence to her voice as attractive as hell for performance. I'd agree with all that. You know, she just needs to be working. That's the problem with AEW. There's not a lot of more experienced girls that you could put her in the ring with to make her better. You know, I mean.
But that's not her main problem. Her main problem is the same problem that Warlord and Adam Cole and.
Yeah, they're in nothing angles. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's a bigger problem. You know,
yeah.
The bad booking, the CM Punk, the, you know, that stuff.
Yeah. The underwhelming storylines.
Right.
The best way to, you know. Okay, here we go. Okay, now notice what's missing here. This is, okay, so this is from last Tuesday. Okay, so maybe, okay, I'm going to give Jared a pass on this. But
because we recorded the mailbag last Monday.
We did record it last Monday?
Yeah, so this
yeah, but he didn't hear it, though.
No, he wouldn't have heard it yet.
Okay, so he sent this on December 6th. Except it's Barry Windham. Hi, by the way, Jared Avial, we're saying this again. I'm sure you must have heard it on last week's show, but your next email needs to include an apology for trying to make it sound like me and Conan didn't know what we were talking about, that you were sure that Liv Morgan was going to be turning heel and cited specific examples and said that we were stupid for not seeing it, okay? And how many months later is it that she's still a babyface, Conan?
I don't know, like 3 or 4?
4 months, yeah.
4, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, so unless you get the apology, we're looking at a long-term suspension of you from the mailbag. You have to come clean. Hey, K100 fam, hope you're all having a splendid day. With the recent unfortunate news about Barry Windham and his heart attack, made me look back on his great career. What's the crew think about his body of work in wrestling? To me, it's one of the most underrated performers in wrestling history. Also to Conan, what was it like working with Barry back when you were doing the No Limit Soldiers versus the West Texas Rednecks feud? I heard people accuse Barry of being an office stooge at times, and Flair also said he was a joy to work with. What were Conan's experiences working and dealing with Barry Windham? Thank you, and that's very best, Jared. Windham was an excellent worker. Like, he was top tier. He was a horseman at one point. You know, he was excellent. Well, watch his stuff. He's a very unique, he's got a very good style, throws good punches, very athletic. You know, he was great. Any comment, Conan?
Yeah, I first saw Windham in Florida when I was a kid, and he was incredible. Then I met him in WCW, or what was NWA before it was even WCW. Yeah. I met him in it, and he actually took me to my first strip club in Atlanta. A really cool dude. I do remember he did not like being part of the Red Texas Rednecks.
West Texas Rednecks.
Yeah.
Interesting. Next is from Tommy Kincaid. The subject is U.S. biz versus Mexico. What's up, guys? I love how you guys don't give an F and tell it like it is, unlike people that are obviously still looking for that last run, brother. My question is about the state of wrestling in the U.S. versus Mexico. I love Lucha, even though I couldn't explain the psychology with a gun to my head, and try to keep up with AAA as much as I can. In America, we see the referee either being buried by the wrestlers, bury themselves, or in most cases, both. It's also common for the referee not to enforce simple rules of American wrestling, like in a tag team match, the referee will allow a tag when clearly the guy or girl who made the tag wasn't holding the tag rope. It's almost unheard of for a wrestler to break the 10-20 count when wrestling outside. I'll end it there. You guys get the point. I could go on for days. I'm curious. In Mexico, is this the problem too, or is that Lucha stuck to its core values that it made it what it is? Thanks for answering my question, and happy holidays. That's from Tommy Kincaid from Aberdeen, Washington.
I'm not sure what the question is here.
I'm not sure either. Let me look again here. In Mexico, is this the problem too? Like, refereeing, is it the referees look stupid here? Is that a problem in Mexico too? The referees look stupid too much.
No, if anything, the referees look too strong sometimes because they get involved way too much.
Right. All right. Next one's from Stuart, and the subject is please help K100 crew. Hey, K100 crew, I live in a small New Zealand town, take pride in the appearance of the street that I live on. However,
let me ask you a question. Did this guy say something about he didn't understand the Mexican psychology?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to explain this for the upteenth time. This is American wrestling. This is Mexican wrestling, not American wrestling. So when you go to an American restaurant, you order American food, you expect a hamburger, not a taco, vice versa. When you go to Japan, you don't ask why they eat with chopsticks. When you go to fucking another country and they have, you know, you don't ask why they drive on the other side of the road. That's just the culture. That's just their universe. You know, we have different rules and different things that the Lucha fans grew up on and they understand.
Next is from, get ready for suspension here, Joe.
Yeah.
Please help K100 crew. Hi, K100 crew. I live in a small New Zealand town, take pride in the appearance of the street that I live on. However, I have a neighbor that doesn't mow their lawn on a regular basis. Do you think my neighbor is lazy, or is everyone else in the street just addicted to the blade? Oh, thanks, Stuart.
Stuart, what are you thinking?
Let's suspend him for a month.
Right.
Write down a month for that guy. Next is some Gulid Ahmed, and the subject is late run-ins. Yo, K100 crew. There's no purpose of having someone run in for saves after that person has gotten the shit kicked out of them already. What do you guys think about that? Does it make that person stupid for not coming in on late? And that's from Hangside. And P.S. Jamie Hayter's one big baddie. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes the saves are too late to make the guy look like a schmuck, you know? I mean, a good save is a good save. The guy's in trouble, and the guy comes out and makes a save.
Yeah, you're saving him from getting more bodily injury, right. And you can start something. Now you start a program with the guy.
Yeah, but coming out late after the guy's been battered and beat up, like, that doesn't really – like, I wouldn't want to go out there. You know, it looks stupid. It's like, where were you?
Yeah, it has
you know?
To be timed right.
Right. Next is from Jay Good, and the subject is thigh slapping. Hey, what's up, K100 crew? But listen to the show on YouTube for a few months. I noticed the guy really hates the thigh slapping the modern wrestlers are doing now, which I agree. My question is, do you blame Shawn Michaels for creating this trend? He also thigh slapped his Sweet Chin Music finish. No, I do not. Because Shawn Michaels hid the thigh slap. He wouldn't... Like, bro, when I talk about thigh slapping, okay, thigh slapping's fine because like the Usos do it pretty decent. They like some of the guys hide it enough, right? Other guys just like openly just smack their thigh like an overhand smack and it looks stupid. And that's like 80% of the people that do it. Like even on any kicking motion, they'll slap their thigh. Like if you kick a guy in the stomach, you show me one time in the human history that somebody with a leather boot has kicked somebody in the stomach and this is the sound it makes. Just does not happen. So... Jim, Shawn Michaels did not, you know, Shawn Michaels did that 20 something years ago. 30. Like the thigh slapping picked up here, like it's just a couple years ago, you know? So, well, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's been going on heavily for like 10 years or so when the Bucks really started, you know, doing it a lot. And, but it did, yeah, it did start like in the 90s with, you know, Michaels. But like you said, he hit it. Tajiri did it, but he hit it pretty well too. And then all of a sudden, you know, a lot of guys started picking up on it.
Yeah. Any comment, Conan?
No, I think the problem was a proliferation of seeing it so many times during a show, every match, and people doing it
multiple times.
Yeah, lazily.
Right.
You know, it just became like kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Where fans were imitating it.
All right, that's been the mailbag.